Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Welcome to the Accredited Powered by 10th Year Seniors here on Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm Ronaldo, and I just can't believe John and Ricardo completely threw me off in our what we call our pre-show meeting, because I just can't believe my people sometimes.
And Ricardo, I just want you to start digging up to find another name. I care what they do, just find another name.
I'm John Mark, and I hope everyone had a National Pride Day, a great day yesterday.
Happy post-National Pride Day, everybody. Have pride in Bahamian culture, Bahamian heritage.
Did you wear your Bahamian colors yesterday?
I wore a shirt made by a renowned Bahamian company.
I wore a shirt with a Bahamian flag. What did you wear, Cardo?
I just wore a regular shirt. I completely forgot.
Yeah, sounds like you wanted pride.
I did it. Luckily, I didn't, because the places I went, people were highly upset with the term. And you had to explain it to me just now. This has always been a thing.
We're not going to broach that subject.
I just say it.
Remember her last week when I said sometimes things just, it's okay to just call things stupid and leave it alone. This one of them days.
Yeah. I respect my people, but if you want to join the conversation today, you can do so at 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or toll free from the Family Islands at 242-300-5720. Text lines are also active today, powered by BTC. You can hit us up at 422-GR96. That's 422-4796.
Before we start, I want to just say happy birthday, Janique.
Oh, yes. Very important.
So happy birthday, Janique, even though you forget birthdays. If anyone sees it, just wish her a happy birthday.
You ain't gonna see Janique. Janique moves like a, I don't know. Janique kind of moves like a ghost. You just never see her. Ghost. Maybe like 2-3 times a year. I don't know where she is right now, but happy birthday, G. What's the lead? Now... This one seems pretty obvious, but I feel like this conversation is going to take us down a winding road. This conversation has tentacles. This conversation has...
Did you have to do that?
Yes, I do. Okay. No, when I talk, I have to act it out. This conversation has a tree of topics that we are going to broach today. But the lead is, of course, DeAndre Ayton.
Greatness. Championships.
Hey, nobody is a homer like John.
Showtime is back.
And
factual.
I need it.
Shout out to Ricardo.
I need it. I need this. I need John's homerism from time to time. I said Homer, H-O-M-E-R.
He immediately became the best center like history to all Bahamians in less than 25
Whoa.
Years. I'm telling you. That's how
Ricardo, this is what we had to talk about. Hold on. Let me introduce it. So DeAndre Ayton signs a free agent deal with the Los Angeles Lakers, something that a lot of people expected. This conversation was out there a lot. To say there have been mixed reactions from this completely underscores what we've been seeing. I'll just flat out and say it. I don't think there's anyone in the American media that thinks this is going to work. I have only seen this move being ridiculed from the time it happened.
10YS has not been ridiculing this at all.
And I'm going to say, I'm swinging to what Carter was talking about. I haven't seen the outpouring of optimism from Bahamians
is
either,
to be honest.
Is it
more of LeBron hate, or is it just
we want to get to. But what have been there? Ricardo, you are a lifelong Laker from the days that you thought Fox was... Me and John just going where I'm going to be.
Nick Van Exel?
I'm not going to lie.
Brian Shaw was playing? Come on now. Kirk Rambis?
We're going to get to me and John's fandom. But Carter, what have you seen from your Laker Nation?
No, I've seen a lot of support for the DeAndre move, simply from the standpoint, of course, Bahamians have not had this opportunity in quite some time to have a homer, somebody to celebrate for.
Who your center was last year, though?
Exactly. Jackson Hayes in a mix of whatever, Maxi Kleber. That was our center rotation.
And this ain't an upgrade, American media?
No, it is an upgrade, but I can understand the frustrations on both ends. But I think Bahamians are just excited the fact that we have a center, somebody that can actually rebound the ball. Shout out Rudy Gobert. He put us at the playoffs just by rebounding. Ridiculous to watch it live, but it is what it is. But yeah, I thought the move was a decent move.
So the biggest things about this was the DeAndre Ayton's exit from Phoenix. Mm-hmm. His exit from Portland. The fact that you had... And I hate when these kind of articles come up.
Oh, no, they're liars. They're liars.
Whenever there's a bad breakup in NBA terms, you always, well, not even just NBA, in sports terms, you always have the unnamed sources from the organization that kind of pours dirt on someone's name and talks about all the negative things that happen. And of course, that happened here with DeAndre, and he does not have a stellar reputation in NBA circles. Not the first time we've heard something like this. Yeah. So I kind of expected this article to come out. My rebuttal to that when I saw this was, well, whenever these unnamed sources do this kind of thing, how much credence do we put into this?
Because zero.
It reminded me the same way you had all the anti-Jazz people doing this when Jazz was leaving the Marlins. Right. And what has been the Yankees' experience with him? Fantastic. Nothing even remotely close to that. So you always got to be mindful of the source when people do this kind of thing. Not saying DeAndre's not at fault with some of these things, because he may not have been the best teammate in certain situations.
In what situation?
But also look at the context of the situation that he was put in.
In both cases.
No, but okay.
The KD one, I give him some grief over, because you had the opportunity to, you know, get to the finals, do something. It didn't work out.
I totally forgot both of them were there at the same
time. Yeah. But no, see, I feel with that, that was just poor management blowing up a team that made the finals, trying to get this lightning in the bottle thing. That wasn't going to work. And then it became, look, it's very easy to say DeAndre is the problem. DeAndre ain't the problem, because what happened to Phoenix after he left? Like, these are just signs. Portland's just going this youth route, right? No way. I could believe that article that came out saying he was a bad teammate, he did this, he did that. I could believe it 1%. I could believe it. No. 1%, because here's the thing. The teammates actually like DeAndre. I've been around DeAndre and the teammates.
Talk your stuff.
And they've had a good time. There was nothing, no animosity between each other. When DeAndre had his fundraiser in Portland, players and coaches and GMs and upper management came to the event to help support DeAndre. So it's like, this is something where, like you say, it feels like the Jazz thing. How can we make Portland fans feel better
about the move?
About the move. Because at the end of the day, he was a free agent after this season. So regardless of what happens, DeAndre was going
to
leave.
And you made, and by you I mean the Blazers, you made the conscious decision to take centers in the first round and back-to-back
drafts. How would you feel as a player if you just see every single draft, you're drafting a center, but then something came out yesterday where it was the exact opposite, where I love anonymous sources came out and they said, no, DeAndre was helping the younger players.
Yeah, he was. All reports were that he was very good with Donovan Clingan.
This is how I know DeAndre. When we were doing national team, we had Donnie Freeman, right? He took Donnie under his wing and said, hey, this is it ain't this make-believe stuff where I've seen it with my own eyes. And if he's doing that with Bahamas basketball, I don't see why he's not doing that in real life, because you just don't turn a switch and say, oh, let me go help this person and not help this person.
But see, this is why I feel like we have to call a spade, get people to understand the business end of basketball. Portland was just not comfortable with that contract anymore.
Agreed, yeah.
So I don't understand why we buying it to the hype or the narrative or the media spin. Portland was not happy with that contract, particularly after drafting two young centers in the last 2 years.
But I feel with this Portland contract, right, this is more of a respect factor between the two parties saying, hey, let's not wait this entire year to XYZ. We want to go with our plan. We'll let you go your way. And that's it. And that's just a mutual agreement. But I feel people have it wrong that this was a mutual agreement between the two parties saying, hey, let's move on a year earlier, because we know next year you're not going to be here.
And this is why I've been telling people, like, the whole week after this move went down, like, if you buy into the media hype that DeAndre was the problem, you will feel, okay, Lakers got a bad, you know, bag of goods. But if you buy into the fact that this is just Portland putting the spin around to protect themselves, when he goes out next year for the Lakers, averages 15 and 10 on
15 and 10? You disrespected him? 25 and 12.
I'm not going to say 25 and 10.
I mean, he playing with LeBron and Luka. Anyone else averaging 25 points in that line?
No, hold on.
20 and 15.
To put it like this, if all he does is rebound the ball, he's walking into a 15 and 10 situation.
You know what he has to do? What he did with the Phoenix Suns.
That's it.
16 and 12.
You just have to walk up the court.
And that's championship.
You're playing with
Larry O'Brien's coming to Nassau.
Right. So I'm just saying. But I feel like this was just Portland trying to put the spin on to protect themselves from the narrative.
Well, I wouldn't say Portland itself. I'll say Portland media. No, those kind of things come from the organization itself.
Like, not even
they leak it to media members that they're close to. That's how that one works.
But some of them, but then you have the other one coming out saying that they spoke to management and it was completely wrong.
But if management is saying it's completely wrong, I need you to come out stronger. I need you to say, hey, this is the best position for both for us and him. We get to move in the direction we want, and he gets to go on and pick a team. I feel like you need to come out strongly and say that this is the case.
Yeah,
and don't let somebody just drag a player through the mud for things that you know better than.
All right, so let's get to the fit and how this is going to work for the Lakers, why we're optimistic, why people think it will not work. So,
will not?
I'll argue for devil's advocate from the other side. You have people saying, yes, the crazy people, they question his motor. They question his ability to fit with players around him. They question his ability to fit with two dominant personalities. They question whether he has the the unmeasurable type of thing, the intangibles.
He got that dog
to be great. That is what they question.
That dog. But see, in music, it's Jay-Z and Roc Nation. In the NBA, it's LeBron James and Clutch Sports. That's all this is. I feel like it's LeBron's team trying to like nerf this a bit to basically say this ain't enough for LeBron to compete. I honestly, as a Laker fan, feel like that's what this is. I don't feel like it's the media just picking up the traction. I feel like it's Rich Paul and his group putting that narrative out there basically to force the Lakers on to do more.
This is where I got to ask Carter about some history because, you know, Lakers fans, our whole lives, we know what's going on. What are the Lakers known for?
Championships.
What else are they known for?
Kobe.
The Laker girls.
Yeah.
What?
No?
They are, anyways, but I don't think that like that's top 10.
Resurrecting like, center's careers.
Offend to me.
No, that is true.
That is what they're known for. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. What gone down with them?
Yeah. Shh. Dwight Howard. We even got Dwight Howard to play decent twice.
When Powell came from Memphis.
We saved
Andrew Bynum.
All I'm saying is,
this is just the lineage of the franchise, right?
Yeah. I think DeAndre in his prime. I don't think they resurrected
him. I agree with you.
We are going to be 27.
No. Not resurrected from the point that he's not in his prime.
Resurrect his image. Yes. Image, yes. Oh,
okay. Yes. He's going to go back to one of those dominant, reliable centers. Mm-hmm.
I do agree with that. And I've been saying that this is the time for all of the mud people have been slinging at you.
People, I keep telling you. I'm putting this squarely at the feet of LeBron James.
No, it's not just them, Pato.
Hold on.
These things about him have been around since Phoenix. This is bigger than the LeBron James thing.
I agree, but you have to understand. As a Laker fan, I've been down this road with player after player. I respect everything LeBron is. I respect everything he means to the game. But in situations like this, I've gone through this summer after summer. LeBron and his team, they spin the narrative that the Lakers aren't doing enough. Even though for the last 3 years, we've given this man everything.
Is that why he's coming out with these trade stuff now?
Yeah, it's his deal. All of this is his deal.
But the things about DeAndre are separate from that, is what I'm talking about. Yes, because those issues and the things that people have been saying have been around before he's had a connection to the Lakers.
Hear me out. What I'm saying to you is, LeBron and his team would take a smaller shoe, like what we see with DeAndre, whether you say it's been small or not. His team is the kind of team to put a battery in the back of that issue and blow it up to what we see today. If you talk to Laker fans immediately after this trade, this buyout and then signing, they would tell you, bro, we bought.
How do you think Luka feel?
Then Luka was good.
Luka feels great.
Exactly.
Then all of a sudden, amazing. You see the narrative starting to spin like, oh, Lakers had all these options and they settled for DeAndre.
No. I love how it's like they settled. Like,
wait.
To be fair, the statement that came out from Rich Paul and Clutch, that happened before the Ayton thing. That happened after LeBron signed it. Yes, it did.
What was the two Miles statements was thereafter? What was the two statements thereafter? If you're comfortable with what this team has done the last couple of weeks, trying to put a championship team again, you don't come out and say, oh, they're building for the future. You're playing alongside Luka Doncic, that's enough for you to win right now.
Yeah, but isn't that also building for the future? You got a 25-year-old superstar.
But what I'm trying to say is you don't look at a player like Luka and say, that's not enough for me to compete. I need more. But you look at Luka and you say, hey, the addition of DeAndre puts us over the top.
Okay.
The addition of whoever else puts us over the top.
But
LeBron,
isn't that...
LeBron and his team has not communicated in the last week that the team is built to win right now. He's making it seem as if we need to do a whole word more to maintain his services.
Isn't that also, if you don't admit that they are building for the future, I feel like you're kind of ignoring the reality, the fact that you just got two mid-25-year-old players.
But that's
Mid-20s players, sorry.
That's not how his team is treating it, though, now. They're treating it as we're ruining
LeBron's opportunity. So he wants Jesus on his team.
Basically, he's treating it as we need to do a lot more to keep him there. What I'm saying is I feel like we've done enough to build in the LeBron James era. If you don't look at Luke and DeAndre and say, that's enough for me at my age to go and get a chip, the problem is not Luke and DeAndre. The problem is you.
And you got Austin.
You're sitting there with 50-something million dollars. That's almost 30% of our cap.
What? Well, first of all, why shouldn't he sit there with 50-something million dollars?
No, I'm not saying he should not have that money. What I'm saying is, given the amount you're being paid, you should look at the assistance as Luka and DeAndre as, bro, that's more than enough for me to compete.
You're trying to tell me, they're saying that he wanted Miles Turner, right? Miles Turner was, what, 4 years, $107 million or something
how
like
does
that?
How does that add to what we're doing?
But you're trying to tell me you would rather that than a DeAndre. We know what DeAndre could do. DeAndre's been to the finals. He's been that third option and done very well
at
that third option. You're trying to tell me for $8 million you don't want DeAndre?
No.
Like, in the grand scheme of things.
What he's saying is that the way DeAndre played is not a contributing factor to his game.
He ain't never seen DeAndre play in LA.
No, but what I'm trying to say, he prefers
not his game in general.
He prefers that stretch five that could do the Kevin Love thing, knock it out from the outside. That's what LeBron prefers.
It ain't even about the way that he plays in terms of what he does on the court. What I'm saying is the biggest issue here is his reputation in the NBA is that his motor just ain't there. The effort ain't there. That is the issue that players have. And he has to be the one to change that. It ain't going to be LeBron. It ain't going to be Luka. It ain't going to be Austin Reeves.
I agree with you. But my point to that is this. Everything that's going on with DeAndre, that's going to take coaching. That's going to take proper planning. That's going to take the clear preparation around
I disagree.
Him.
I think that's him.
Fair point.
I think it's 100% him.
I'll accept that as well. But all I'm saying is just the caliber of player that he could potentially be. If I am LeBron James, if I'm Luka Doncic, I'm saying, hey, that addition is a key addition for us to compete for championships.
Write this down.
Yeah, that's it.
I agree. He's making the All-Star game this year.
I would love to see that. I can't even lie to you. Because if he does that, that means we have somebody that we can build around alongside Luka. All I'm saying is I'm really frustrated with this whole LeBron James offseason thing. If you're going to be this antsy, if you're going to be this, I want to say a bad word right now. If you're going to be like this the entire offseason, I think the Lakers are better off without you.
I love it.
I don't, because it's ridiculous. You have more than enough to compete. I hate to say it like this. All it's time now for you to do is literally shut up and play basketball.
So the same thing.
I don't want to say shut up and dribble.
So the same thing he's been doing for 22 years.
No, he's been
playing long,
bro. He's been the last three off seasons undermining everything the Lakers as an organization tries to do. If it's not immediately adding to his legacy,
absolutely, I would do the same thing.
Okay, so you think he's the reason why they sold the team?
I would never be more concerned with the name on the front than the name on the back. No, why? It's just laundry.
You are by all means.
I would absolutely make them sign my son too.
I want to have this conversation.
Yeah.
You, by all means, are the greatest basketball player that we've ever seen. By all means. With that, doesn't come with a certain level of power? I'm not saying it shouldn't. Okay. I'm not saying it shouldn't. I feel like with that power, you should take on the responsibility to say every now and again, I feel like we got a good team. I feel like we can compete.
Come on, bro. That's all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying. But if you are undermining the franchise at every... What else can we... This is me
so
talking
as
a Miami, pure Laker
You
fan.
Want Miami LeBron where he says, let's just get to the playoffs and we'll do what we
I don't even want that. I just want LeBron to stop this whole tantrum that he's pulling to basically say the Lakers aren't doing enough
for me. The more important thing is for him to be ready in June than what he says now. I think that's the most important thing. Nah, like, him saying these things or you wanting him to make these statements in the offseason means completely nothing when Rudy Gobert is out-rebounding your entire team. That's the thing that's most important. That's like, what are we talking about?
But we didn't just wake up one day and moved away from AD. Him, Rich, they all played a part in what happened with AD going to Dallas. They played a direct role in that. The idea is AD did not want to play center. LeBron and AD said the Lakers needed a what? A center. What center was out there for us to get?
Kai Jones.
By not blowing up any possible chance of future.
Mark Williams.
And what happened with that?
They said he failed the physical.
Okay, so what did we have to do? We had to suck it up. We all know we needed Mark Williams, but we had to suck it up because he was the only center available. Try and sign somebody off a scrap heap. When that didn't work, the only other move we could make is to move LeBron and move AD. That was the only move there for the Lakers. In any other franchise, you would say, bro, that's the end right there. You blow it all up.
Right.
He's still there. We pull Luka Doncic out of a magic hat and laid him in front of LeBron and be like, bro, this is your future.
So what are you saying? You need him to make a statement saying, I like this?
I just need him to relax and enjoy. Like, bro, you have 2 years left. The Lakers building a championship team around you.
I feel like he's absolutely doing that, though. I feel like we're getting agitated about something we don't need to. Like, this is a non-issue to me.
That man in a random Cleveland Cavaliers gym.
Every offseason. Every single offseason.
I respect that and I understand it. But you don't need to stoke flames to this fire to make it seem that the Lakers failing you in some metric.
That's all I'm saying. No, hold on. Telling LeBron not to go back to Cleveland and work out is like telling DeAndre or Buddy not to come to Kendall Isaacs and work out. That's where he's from. That's what he does every offseason. What are we talking about?
Really not.
That's not the first time I've seen that picture. And really not. People do these things, and I feel like it's the ignorance of basketball fans and social media knowing that.
Hold on. So you do that the same week your agent puts out 3 separate statements explaining to you that you have to pursue every possible angle to put yourself in the best position for the next 2 years that you intend to play.
You know how much people...
Every offseason.
You know, all.
Bronny was practicing in the Clippers facility the other day.
He does it every offseason. He goes home and he works out there. Okay, something that John said I wanted us to...
Aiden could be all-star?
Yes, but not that yet. Is some of people thinking that this move won't work, is it byproduct or some residual, I don't like LeBron, I don't want to see LeBron succeed kind of thing? Because I feel like there's a lot of that in this too.
I find it funny. Why is it like, okay... You're a fan of a team, but because LeBron's on the team, it's like, I don't like the team that much. Anyway. Like, that makes no
there
sense.
There are legitimately Laker fans that have wished nothing but the worst for them since he started wearing the jersey.
Yeah, we know a couple of them. Yeah.
It's and it doesn't so make strange sense. To me. And sometimes I wonder, like, what it is. And I feel like you could point to the exact... I feel like if you were born any time before 1980 and before... You have like this, it's nostalgia. I feel like admitting that anyone in the current era is better than anyone before, you feel like it has some effect on what you saw during your adolescence.
I don't even think that's the case. I can tell you
that happens a lot.
No, I agree that happens, but in this particular broad instance with Laker fans, there's a strong pull in the Laker community. The fact that he was once the guy that was supposed to go head to head with Kobe.
Oh my
he
God.
He was Kobe's. No, I
and Kobe
legit.
Was one of his biggest fans.
Right.
Like, but to make Laker it make sense.
To Laker fans, it's like, bro, you go on and sign the mortal enemy. That's what it's like.
What does that have to do with now? I don't... What does that have to do with
just
now?
Just want to read a quick text. Sorry, Laker fans. No chip. I assume this is supposed to be while LBJ is there. Aiden on... I can't even make that part up. The NBA has pivoted their face. LBJ and Luka. LBJ is the GOAT fraud. He is all about brand. He is the master of brand management to boost him over everyone else. LBJ builds people around him to take the blame when he fails. Ayton has never played with leaders. So, John, that last portion of the text was just for you.
Never. You don't have to play with leaders.
He played with Chris Paul. He played with Chris Paul. Chris Paul was a leader. Those were the best years of his career.
I agree.
This is sorry, John. For DeAndre, this is the best professional situation I think he's ever been in.
Hands down.
He will be the rotating between the third and fourth option. He's going to have one job in this offense. What? Why do you look like that?
Third or fourth?
Yeah. Austin Reeves.
It depends on the night.
I feel like if Dalton Kinnick remains in the Lakers, he's the fourth option.
Okay. The
what?
Option, he's the whatever. Fourth option.
Second year Dalton Kinnick, who did nothing as a rookie, is going to be an option above.
Well, if he's a fourth...
You forget what Luka was in Dallas.
You can't be a fifth option and have better stats.
Right, but look at what Luka was in Dallas. Where did the points come from in Dalas? Open 3-point shooters. That's the reason Dalton Kinnick is still on the team. I'm not saying that DeAndre is not going to have a good year.
I don't want to get bogged. I don't want to get bogged.
I'm going to say this. Luka is 10x what Chris Paul is right now, or was back then.
Yeah.
The amount of pick and rolls, alley-oops, you know, open... Aiden's going to have a field. Aiden's not going to have to take jump shots. He's going to shoot like 70% from the field because most of his shots are going to be layups and dunks or little baby hook shots. That's going to be the game.
But see, again, the Lakers did this weird thing last season where we basically had two offensive playbooks. You had the playbook when Luke and LeBron was on the court together, and then when Luke was on the court by himself. That playbook is going to be DeAndre's field day. That's going to make him the all-star player you're referring to. I'm not confident what he's going to be on the court while LeBron is on the court. That's just how I feel. The last couple of seasons, LeBron has not played really, really well with centers the size of Ayton. I'm sorry, he's just...
He's had none with this skill set.
Well, not with the skill set, no, but I don't feel like that's a... LeBron's game is not, hey, get it down into the post, let me put you in the best
position. That's also not Ayton's game.
Let me tell you something about DeAndre, right? A motivated DeAndre is the most dangerous DeAndre. And that's what it is. He's going to go there with a motivation he's never had before since he was with Phoenix, saying, hey, I could play this. Remember, his last meaningful basketball games were Bahamas basketball games in the summer. That was now all of a sudden.
Shut up, Portland. Portland and Charlotte.
All of his basketball games now are the most important because the lights shine brighter in L.A.
So let me ask you before we go into half, because I kind of understand your stance right here now.
I guess it's stupid, but anyway.
What... What would be the issue that is brought up if it does not work out between this three-headed monster the Lakers are trying to put together? Who's going to carry the blame?
LeBron.
If it does not work out. You think LeBron is going to carry the blame?
Look, yeah. LeBron will carry the blame.
I think he always does. Wow.
I mean, I don't see how it's not LeBron, especially that, like you say, he's making 30% of the salary cap that the Lakers have. But the media is... This is the one time where I could say when DeAndre was Phoenix, it was easy to pick on DeAndre. Everyone wants to pick on LeBron. Everyone wants to say, is LeBron the real leader that we know? If Jordan was playing, LeBron would be averaging 50 points a game. Like, that's how it would be.
I think who the blame is going to go to is still yet to be decided. I think so much of that is going to depend on how DeAndre looks in this Laker uniform. I think it's going to depend on how he's playing. If it's obvious that he is giving the kind of motivated DeAndre like what John is talking about, right, then there's no way he takes the blame for that. I think the praise and the fault always lies with the leader of the team. And it's always been with LeBron.
Okay.
That's just the way it is.
Okay.
We still got time. To something that the texter said when he said LeBron builds up players around him.
To take the fall. Yeah.
Do we not think he's just trying to win? I don't quite get that. Like, yes, Brian, he's a great brand manager. And he said that when he was 18 years old, it was one of the things that made me intrigued with his whole story and why I prefer his story over anyone else's is I remember him saying, I want to be a global icon. Why would I just want to be a basketball player?
No, I get all of that. And this is where the difficulty is always going to be with me as a Laker and a LeBron fan. Because I got to have to look at it in two separate lenses.
You don't.
Now, I have to. And I'm going to explain to you why. Being a fan of LeBron these last couple of seasons has made me realize quickly how much he passes the blame in very, very tense situations. I don't have an issue with it. I understand. You're arguably the greatest basketball player ever. You feel with your talent alone, you should be in a position every year to win a championship. I respect that. But at the same time, sometimes it's on him.
Yeah.
The failure of the team is on him. You have to step up and say, I wasn't really focused tonight. I really wasn't in it this year. In a lot of situations, LeBron kind of skirts that blame and put it on every other player on the team and make it seem they feel it.
He has been personally accountable, man. That's some revisionist history.
Yeah, no. I don't agree with that.
But just now
when we... In a lot of our situations, bro, in the last couple of seasons, LeBron has really... Lakers has been up there in terms of importance for him. But it's not been his number one priority. I'm sorry. As
and
a Laker
that
fan.
That is crazy that people think that for
I've
you
seen
to
see it.
What have you seen? You've seen someone that's the oldest player in the league still have that kind of production, and you telling me that is not his top priority?
No, what you're taking that as is I'm seeing his production and saying, bro, LeBron is not good. I'm not saying that. LeBron has been excellent
for the Lakers. You just said it's not his top priority. Then what is?
Those two teams could be the same now. They could exist in the same box.
So please tell me what you think his top priority is.
He could still be one of the best players in the league and not have basketball as his top priority. That's how good LeBron is.
We're going to go to the half right now. When we come back from the half, Cotto is going to explain to us what LeBron's top priority is. Next.
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
In these very difficult times when crime is on the increase, you don't need to waste money on imitation security. Get the best at Wemco Security, the company you keep. Don't delay. Call today or visit their office at 32 Collins Avenue across from Columbus Primary School.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Family life is full of joy and challenges. With a Fidelity personal loan, you can handle life's surprises while focusing on what matters most. From home renovations to unexpected expenses, our loans are fast, reliable solutions to any problem life throws your way. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody's business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328 tips or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300 tips or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them and the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone. So nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Welcome back to The Accredited, powered by 10th Year Seniors here on Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm Ronaldo, and I hope Drake ain't doing what I thought he was doing with this What Did I Miss track.
I'm Ricardo. I was surprised that he lasted that long in a truck driving through Toronto. That was funny as hell.
Michael Thompson, the greatest shooter in Cardinals history, Rick Fox, DeAndre Ayton, Lakers championship this year.
Fair point.
All right, so if you missed what we were talking about before the break, Carter was explaining to us that basketball is no longer LeBron James' top priority. And so what I want to do is go down the list of the all-NBA team, and I want Carter to explain to us what each one of their top priority is. And I'm going to start with Giannis Antetokounmpo, top priority.
He's trying to force the Milwaukee Bucks to put him in the best position to win another championship. And he also recently joined TikTok. He's been funny as hell.
No, but you were Giannis. I love that elaborate answer that you gave. But you were saying that basketball ain't LeBron's top priority. Can you shorten your answer? So what is it for Giannis? TikTok.
You could say it. Yes.
Okay.
Doesn't sound like basketball.
SGA.
Come on now, it's championships. That's his number one priority.
That's his number one priority. Okay. Mm-hmm. Jokic.
Oh, horses.
Horses.
Donovan Mitchell.
Health. He trying to stay healthy.
Tatum.
Same thing right now. He ain't playing next year. So.
Jalen Brunson.
He's a dog, though.
See, it's tough for Jalen Brunson because it is championships. Mm-hmm. It is championships for Jalen Brunson. He can't do it in New York. Not with the team around him.
Steph Curry.
Retirement. Legacy. That's all he care about?
Anthony Edwards.
I can't answer that all.
Evan Mobley.
Jamaica.
Cade Cunningham.
Getting out of Detroit.
Holly.
Recovery.
James Harden.
Strip clubs.
Cat.
Getting out of New York.
J-Dub.
I think he's pushing to try and be defensive player of the year next year. So basketball.
LeBron James.
Being a mogul.
You were incorrect on how much that was? 15? He was incorrect on like 12 of them. Everyone's top priority is basketball.
No, it's not.
No, Jokic's top priority is basketball.
No, it's not.
It's still basketball.
No. Explain to me right now how basketball is LeBron's top priority.
How do you think the mogul thing happened?
Do you think it's not working out?
No, I'm not saying he's not working. I think that's a part of his life. When basketball is your number one priority, you're putting yourself in a position to ensure that the team is better.
No, I disagree with that. See, what y'all want is y'all want that thing on the front to be more important than the thing on the back. Why?
Because I'm a Laker fan.
He is LeBron James. You know what he is?
LeBron is going to retire at some point and my Lakers will still be playing basketball.
We understand that. Why do you think he care about that more than he care about
him? I'm not expecting him to care about the Lakers more than he cares about himself. All I'm saying is don't hold my team hostage to meet whatever ridiculous demands that you're trying to get.
You forget Stephon Marbury's greatest line, right?
What's that?
When he's like, when the Knicks wanted to buy him out and he was like, I got a jet to pay for. He's still playing ball, but boy, he needs that money.
It's very difficult for me to comprehend why people would think he would care about the future and fate of this organization more than he cares about him. You want him to look at it from the perspective of do his best for the Lakers. Why would I do that?
The best, but I could care less what he thinks. I want my team to be in the best position to compete every year. If that means that we need to move on from LeBron, by all means, move on from LeBron. We have a caller. Caller, go ahead. Thanks, John. Do you credit it?
Hello?
Hi, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Noel here who happened to also send in the text. And you're talking about LeBron James in terms of Reddy's number one priority is basketball.
Yeah.
And never was. Oh, it's always been him. He used basketball as a vehicle, a facility to get what he needs. So, if you look at everything, when he came to L.A., he went to his pizza places before he even joined the team, meet with the team, for a whole week or a half or two. And then when he did join, the first thing he did was start talking about who needs to leave. So, it's always been about him. So, but, you know, LeBron on his way out, so he's going to focus more on him still.
I appreciate your call.
Yeah, man.
See?
I feel like everybody's job and everyone looks at their employment the same exact way. Because they're basketball players and they make this exorbitant amount of money, we shouldn't look at it any differently.
No, I'm not. See, this is why.
Y'all think Jordan didn't care about off-the-court stuff with his shoes? See,
oh, my God. This is why I didn't want to have this conversation like this. Because I don't want to fall into
Jordan get tired and retired.
Right. But
Jordan went to the Wizards.
I'm not falling into the bracket of people that feel like basketball players should put this random thought process to say, I'm going to live and die by the team I play for. I understand that all sports is first and foremost a business. I get that. But as a fan of the teams that I support, that's my number one priority. I want those organizations to be in the best position possible. All I'm saying in this argument is not that I don't feel like LeBron should have everything he wants or deserves as the greatest players of all time. All I'm saying is this. As a Laker fan, we've given him all we can give.
Okay, great. My thing is...
You know what Kobe would have said? More.
The entire thing about...
He did. We pushed Kobe to consider the Bulls at one point.
Push Kobe. The entire thing about fan and fanatic and where the root of all of that comes from is we expect these people to care about this as much as we do, which is insane in some areas because that is never
we're the fanatics and they're not.
No, that is never going to align and we got to stop doing process that.
And I agree, you have a lot of people just like the caller that believes those things. I had no problem when LeBron came to LA, him say it. Bro, Magic told me that there's a lot of business out here that I could be a part of. I respect all that. Go and do all that. All I'm saying is from a basketball standpoint, I want my Lakers to be in a position to win. Everything that we've done for you thus far has moved us further.
What's LeBron average? John, I want to go out on a limb here and say the hottest of hot takes.
Go ahead.
Prepare yourself for this one. I think LeBron James wants to win basketball games.
Boy.
You sure about that?
I think LeBron James would like to win an NBA title.
Every player wants to win an NBA title.
Y'all sure?
We've done everything possible to give LeBron a championship competitive
And team. This is why I consider him the most polarizing athlete of his generation, because I really just wanted to make this about DeAndre.
I wanted this to be a conversation about DeAndre.
Why did it become a LeBron conversation?
Because I feel like you're trying to push the narrative that the Lakers has not done all possible to make LeBron a championship.
Not at one point did I say that.
Okay, let me ask the question like this before I put words in your mouth. Mm-hmm. What can the Lakers do right now to make themselves a championship competitive team by next season?
I think they just did it.
So you feel like this DeAndre move is enough for the Lakers to compete?
Yes.
It's a start. It's not going to be the end of
I think they can add depth, but I think they have enough to win right now.
Specifically, what depth?
I think they need backcourt depth. I think they need playmaker depth. I actually think Chris Paul would work well in this team.
Okay, let me refine the question even better. What could the Lakers do in the next couple of months to say, hey, by no chance, they should not win the championship next year? What can the Lakers add for you to say, head over heels, they're the favorite to win?
They got to get a proper backup center.
Uh-huh.
And they got to get more shooting.
I don't think there's anything that would make me say that, because the way the NBA is training, you have had 8 different champions in the last 8 seasons. So I don't call anyone a foregone conclusion. So I don't think there's anything they could do outside of some ridiculous move to get another all-star that'll make me say that.
So we don't have enough all-stars.
You can always get more. You can always get more. Any team can always improve. Thunder can improve.
With what money?
I don't know.
Okay.
My job is to do this, not to...
Yeah, we're not salary cap experts.
But this is what I'm saying to you, and that's why I wanted to take the conversation there. As a fan, that's where my mindset is. Post-LeBron, we have no possibilities right now.
Right.
Nothing beyond LeBron. Right. So we're all in on this.
Okay.
And as a team, all in on this. To do all that you have done to put this man in the best position... And all you get from his agent all week after making the best move that you could make is, yeah, but we just go and see what better there for him. What?
Yeah, what do you think he accrued all this power over the course of the last 40 years for to be able to do that? That's what you get power for.
Yeah, I don't see anything. I keep saying Jordan did pretty much the same exact thing back then. It just wasn't 24/7 in the social media cycle.
It's why you get power to use
Kobe
it.
Kobe used his power to stay with the Lakers.
I don't understand.
He has 5 chips.
Anyway, I wanted this to be about DeAndre, and we are going to celebrate this move happening. John thinks DeAndre Ayton is going to be an all-star. I think
15 and 10.
I think it's very possible.
Disrespecting that 15 and 10.
He can have the same numbers like John said earlier.
At least 18 and 12.
He can have the same numbers roughly that he had since he went to Phoenix, and it would be viewed through a different prism because the spotlight, everything is heightened when you play for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. And that is what I'm looking forward to. The last time we've seen him play with two playmakers like this, like we said, it was a diminished version of Chris Paul, really, because Phoenix Chris Paul was in him at the height of his powers. Now we have prime Luka. Now you have
LeBron. I think Luka's going to have so much fun with this. Both because they already have a good relationship, the two of them. And that's one of the most important things, to be able to have a great relationship with the person who actually handles the basketball. Because what do they want to do? They want to feed you. I feel like Luka's going to be like, you know what? I'm trying to get 15 assists this season. Because it's just dump downs to Aiden, and Aiden can dunk it.
And that's what is so intriguing about this to me. What does it look like when he plays with two playmakers? That is what I'm most forward. That's what I'm looking forward to the most in seeing DeAndre in this lineup. You get to play with two elite playmakers, two of the best probably that we've ever seen
do. And Austin Reeves. And Austin Reeves.
Yeah, I know Austin Reeves. But Austin Reeves could be like doing his thing. Right? Mm-hmm. The greatest effect this is going to have is
he can pass through.
So the thing about it is there's probably never going to be a point where DeAndre's on the court and you don't have an elite playmaker around. So I look forward to that the most. Yes, he's going to have to be the anchor of that defense. Mm-hmm. They do not have elite perimeter defenders. They have to get younger on the perimeter as well.
But here's what I'm interested in. And I'm interested in seeing it, because DeAndre has done it before. He's shown flashes where he can carry a team for 2 to 3 to 4 minutes.
That's what I want
to see. And I want to see with this, because if you're telling us now, Luka and LeBron go to the bench and you got Austin Reeves
and DeAndre running the show,
and you're not really taking a step back, that's where the Lakers are going to improve. Because you remember when Luka would go out, LeBron would go out, that's where you saw the team just start sinking offensively.
Yeah, J.J. Redick caused that, though.
But J.J. Redick loves DeAndre. Yeah. Let's just put it that way.
Everyone's going to. Like, so, there's so many similarities between the Jazz thing and this to me. I just can't wait for it to
happen. I just want to see, because, like I said, DeAndre is going to be number 3, number 4 option. Carter says number 5. Don't see it.
I don't know where he get this Dalton Connect Fine Club membership from. You gotta be kidding me with that.
I don't get that, it either.
That mom is almost in Charlotte.
D-Connect, bro.
Yeah, okay.
So, like I said.
Hey, yo.
Yeah. My favorite thing of this trade is to see when LeBron and Austin Reeves, when Aiden and Austin Reeves are on the floor together. Because Austin can still space it out. You gotta respect his shooting. But you also have to respect DeAndre's offensive game.
You knew.
Because from 15 foot inwards, he can hit that jump shot.
No, I feel like that's a portion of this whole discussion has been out the window. DeAndre Ayton, when he came into the league. Not my fault.
You're talking about LeBron's legacy.
DeAndre, when he came into the league, probably still is one of the most skilled in terms of handling the ball, big man, that we've seen in quite some time. And I felt like that was short-circuited his time in Portland for some strange reason. I don't know what Chauncey Billups is doing.
They had 17 guards.
It was never going to... I always looked at that as a pit stop, and I was surprised he was there for 2 years. Because they got Shadon Sharp, they got Scoot Henderson, you see where that team's youth movement was going. Even Anthony Simons had to get out of there, and he ain't even a whole player. That's, you see what they're trying to do. So that's neither here nor there. Like, we done with that era. I remember John saying...
Was your team, though?
Yeah, I was just about to say that. John was saying they was trying to pull me back. No, sir. I root for wherever the Lakers. Bahamians go. I root for wherever the Bahamians go, but I wasn't going down to Portland.
I need y'all to make this call up, buddy, right now. They extended the trade. I forget who made the KD trade.
Oh, the 17.
Yeah. That buddy looking around, talk to you, boys. Tell him about a minute, man. Move little something. Move
little something.
You know what's strange?
Because that's what we need. That's the missing piece. If we could get Buddy.
But yeah, Buddy and Aiden on the Lakers.
That would be great. But I ain't gonna lie. Last when Buddy was available, I didn't want him to go to LA, you know.
Because you stressed out.
I rather the Warriors. Because here's the thing. Like, and John could attest to this too. I feel like we are so protective of the Bahamian players. I feel like I didn't want him to go into that LA buzzsaw with everything that was going on.
I'd be petty right now. You didn't want to play LeBron.
I wouldn't want him to go to Lakers. I preferred him to go to Golden State.
Why would you want him to play with LeBron?
I mean, that is a privilege. A privilege of the highest order. Too.
No. Yeah. I just want to know specifically why would you want him to play with LeBron?
Because at that time, a lot of the... See, you got to... Something about our
Is the scrutiny not?
It's
the scrutiny...
I don't think the scrutiny is going to affect buddy or anything. I don't like. It wasn't the right position for him. The offense wasn't going to be there.
Shooter with LeBron is not the right position. Pause.
No, I don't. What I'm saying is, what he was getting at the time, especially when he wasn't shooting well, I looked at what was happening with that and how amplified that would be in that situation.
Next to,
I feel
it would be amplified playing next to.
Yeah, everything's amplified playing in LA and playing next to LeBron.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
I had an issue with it when it happened in Philly. I had an issue with it when it was happening in Golden State. That was more about Buddy, not about LeBron. I feel like this is a perfect situation for DeAndre, and I feel like this is something that he needs. I feel like he needs the scrutiny. That's the difference with them two.
But you know who has a perfect situation? VJ Edgecom.
Oh God.
It's Summer League.
Oh, God.
Summer League starts tonight.
It's Summer League. Thank you, John, because, wow, we really made the whole show about DeAndre sidetracked. VJ Edgecombe and the Philadelphia 76ers debut. He makes his Summer League debut tonight in Utah. Right away, see, whenever there's a draft, you have people getting to pit one against two or two against three, whatever, pitting two different decisions. Now you directly have because there is a faction of the Philly fan base that wanted Ace Bailey.
I don't know why, but
boy, if you listen to a lot of Philly media and you listen to it, may be the media more than the fans. Let me say that.
Yeah, I think what happened was so the media wants him because they think he's the next all star
for that.
He's the size, and when VJ cried, the fans were like, "Well, that's what we want."
Mm-hmm. So those two go head to head tonight in Utah.
Ace Bailey actually geared to the game.
Ace Bailey's going to play.
Oh, okay.
Allegedly.
I thought he was going to take the rest of the bunt off.
9 p.m. tonight on ESPN. And
showtime.
I swing to John first with this because John will tell you about the numbers. He's the greatest homer there's ever been in Bahamian sports. What do you expect tonight from VJ Edgecombe's debut in Summer League? And before he says anything, I want y'all to know he's being 100% honest.
VJ's going for 50 tonight. Y'all laughing. 50.
Who was the last man to score 50 in the Summer League?
I'm laughing because I know John mean that in his heart. You understand?
And
he's not doing a thing.
He's going to dunk someone off tonight. Someone getting dunk off. Okay, here's the thing.
Ace Bailey.
Boy, that would be great.
No, I ain't lying.
But I'll say this.
If there's a prop bet out there for that, take it right now.
I'm going to say this with VJ. VJ's either scoring 50, right? Or a solid like 22 with someone head getting burst right off.
I like how you tone it down to 22. I like when you're doing your thing, like going to score 50.
I can understand why 22 with somebody head getting
off. Yeah, no. Because at that point,
there with 50.
Yeah, you ain't gotta play that hard.
Because VJ is the kind of dude who actually got there. And when he dunking on somebody, he doing it for calamity.
Two hands.
Yes.
He pulling up on the rim.
You know what John said before game 7? Buddy was going to score 40.
It was close.
He scored 33. So I need John to be extreme with his takes and stand on that 50. Because you know what might happen? VJ might drop 41. I don't know.
Well, VJ dropping plenty.
If he dropped 41 tonight,
let's put it this way. Cycle is gonna Today is going to be the day when people are going to say, you know what? Philly was right. Because
but we know. Okay, so here's the thing.
You got to stop saying we know. We homers in this case. The world out there.
I was going to say we know that Summer League is always an extreme overreaction in one way or the other. Whether it's for
especially
the positive.
Especially the Utah Summer League.
Yeah, whether it's for the positive or... Then you know what they need to do? Move that back to Orlando. No. The Orlando Summer League was good.
The reason why they're not going to do it is because Vegas is right next to it and they could just... around the corner.
They have still a couple of games in Orlando, right?
No.
That
what used to happen in Orlando now happens in Utah. So you have the Utah and you got the California Classic and then everyone goes to Vegas.
So back in the day, it used to be Orlando and Vegas. Yeah. So teams would pick to say, we either go into Orlando or we go into Vegas. Right. And then they just say we could put everything in Vegas. And it became
sponsorship money.
Yeah, California Classic. And then Utah one came beforehand. So it's... 8 teams go to that, then everyone goes to Vegas.
Carter, you want them to put an NBA team in Vegas right now? You see what's going on? You think they could have Malik Beasley on an NBA team in Vegas? Boy.
They have a chance to lose, bro.
That man owes Bob $27,000.
How much you owe his dentist?
Oh my,
it was more because his dentist was actually garnishing his wages.
How I didn't know that much was possible.
I'm trying to figure out. That's my thing. What work did he get done?
Please tell me what was happening at this barbershop where you can accrue a debt of $27,000. I don't know how much years of haircuts that is.
Yeah, because I
like how much years of haircut is that for you?
But I don't know.
I feel like as soon as you get in a range of like 10K, you tell him like, oh, you gotta clear the balance stuff.
10K? These haircuts?
No, because I imagine he's spending like anywhere between $1 and $150 for a cut.
Okay, if he's spending $100 on a haircut.
Uh-huh. That's like 10 cuts. 10 cuts is a grand, so you're looking at, what, 20, 30 cuts?
You cutting your hair every day?
No, but I was asking, is he cutting his hair every day?
Over the course of the year, you telling the barber, yeah, but meet me this spot. I got you.
All right, so 52 weeks. But if I'm just say he gets his hair cut 25 times a year.
Right.
But if I'm the barber, I ain't letting 30 of them go unpaid. That's my question.
You paying me advance a year.
30?
So I think...
you got to put a deposit down.
What I think the actual case is more like, hey, yeah, book the ticket. I could just get you in. You waiting for that, you know, that direct deposit to hit. And it ain't never hit. So I imagine that's the case.
So was Malik Beasley flying out everyone? Like his barber, his dentist?
Everybody.
I'm assuming yells.
So he had a budget. The budget probably just didn't cover. He had to pay the most.
Wait, Detroit haircuts expensive.
I just need to know from.
I'm glad I only have to get. But I have locks, so now I only got to get a little shape up on the side.
I just need to know what the discussion was like for your barber and dentist to start garnishing your wages,
bro.
Like, how do you go into your account and be like, "Yeah, but make sure they get paid before I get something."
I say all that to say. They can't have no NBA team in Vegas.
They have to.
Too close. You see what happened? It's happening everywhere. It's happening. The gambling money is too close to the sports. And you got to have some sort of separation. Even locally. Because, listen. I love the sports books. I'm an NBA player. I'm not a professional athlete, so I partake. Y'all stay away from our professional athletes, please. Yeah.
Let's not congratulate them directly.
Like, let's not. Like, we don't need. We don't even hovering around any of them. Let's separate church and state. Like, we get it. It's all good. Let's just
content.
Let's
cool.
just stay away from that. If you wanna fund content creators, that's fine.
No, wait.
Mm-hmm.
The people with the money. Who you think you throw the best parties?
That's fine.
You can do everything.
You could do all of that. All we saying is do not be directly associated
y'all
with them.
Like y'all didn't get the invite to Bimini. That could be a bastard.
No, we don't. We don't. See, we don't care about the invite to Bimini. We care about the legacy of our guy without getting any questions.
Because
right this space is too small.
Right now, the antennas at an NBA office, they on heightened alert right now with any of this stuff. All I'm saying is, you just don't need it in the air. That's all.
We also got to talk about Isaiah Mobley.
All right, so we got 4 minutes to talk about Isaiah Mobley. So the reason why Isaiah Mobley is so important is one of the reasons why Mikey Duncan was so important. Isaiah Mobley should have played for the national team. He ended up getting hurt, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So he was in national team camp, does want to play for the program moving forward. And he is a great player. He would be one of the best bigs we have on the team. Very important to the roster.
Right.
What's even more important is when he go home, talking to his brother and saying, hey.
That's right.
You really could leave me hanging? You really could watch me suit up for the Aquamarine black and gold.
Please call it Aquamarine.
We could tell him. Mm-hmm. On National Pride Day.
John, you wear that on Pride
Day. He might have. John, make sure you get a jersey.
Okay.
He got plenty of Bahamas gear.
Plenty of Bahamas gear. So I'm sure he wear it. So we want him to talk to his brother and be like, I am going out there giving blood, sweat, and tears for this Bahamian
national
team.
Don't bleed, bro. Don't bleed.
But you might bleed. What you could do?
Here's the thing with Isaiah.
The Jamaicans loading up.
They trying to.
Trying to.
Yeah. Too bad we already there.
Mm.
But
talk
with
your stuff.
Isaiah, I think the Warriors is actually a good spot with Looney leaving. They need this. They need the size.
Thank you. I didn't mention any of that. Yeah, he playing with the Warriors in Summer League. Playing tonight in the California Classic.
So... he has an opportunity to not only get, I believe, a two-way contract, because last year he was on a regular G League deal. Then he got moved to two-way. He played the last regular season game with Philly. But I think this is a season where he actually might, if not stick on a roster, because he's not going to cost too much money to put on the roster, but he's going to give them the size and the athleticism that they need at that five. Remember, he's bigger than Draymond. They had Draymond playing the five. So they might be able to put him in at the five and then put Draymond at the four to be able to play. But I feel that Isaiah has a great shot of being in the NBA this year, which only totals more Bahamians in the NBA.
And it all leads back there to the most important thing. And as Carter was arguing very passionately from the standpoint of a Laker fan, me and John only argue very passionately from the standpoint of a Bahamas basketball fan.
I need to argue more passionately and ensure that Buddy getting a Laker jersey.
And it comes full circle. And I like that that is the point where John ended it. Because
tell Buddy if he go play for the Lakers, we can send him some coconut tart or something, bro.
You don't think he'd get his own
car? Do you know how much tens of millions of dollars this man has?
What do you think that's the draw for Buddy? What he need to play for the Lakers?
There's nothing we can do for him that he cannot do for himself. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Make sure he get a statue or something.
We can't do that. Ain't nobody get no statue.
No one.
Ain't no basketball player have Thomas A. Robinson have a statue. That'll do it for this episode of Accredited. When we come back, we'll try to see which athlete can finally get a statue.
You get two stadiums, though.
Y'all don't like LeBron, but...